Our topic this week, out of the book of Genesis, chapters 18 and 21, God makes Sarah laugh. Starting in chapter 18, verse 1, the Lord appeared to him, Abraham, by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent in the heat of the day. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. So it starts off with the Lord appeared to him, and then it says three men. We're not going to get real depth on that this week, and another week we'll look at these three men and the Lord and this whole jumping back and forth between that. But there's Abraham, hot day. He's sitting in the cool shade and from the kind of get some respite from the heat of the day. And three men come by his tent. Verse 2, when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them. He bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts, and after that you may pass by inasmuch as you've come to your servant. So he sees them, invites them for a meal with him. Verse 5, and they said, do as you have said. And so Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to the young man, and he hastened to prepare it. And so he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had prepared, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Now, does anyone have any experience with that? How long does it take to go and grab a calf, kill a calf, skin a calf, cook a calf, all from scratch, and then be able to present a meal? I don't know how long that takes. I've never quite done that. But that's what he does. And so provides a meal for these traveling wayfarers, some water to drink. And it's interesting, the meal he gave them was butter, milk, and a calf. Now, rabbinical kosher laws say that you can't eat milk and dairy together. Not only can you not eat them together, you can't even have them in the same room together, basically. You can't have a restaurant that has meat dishes and dairy dishes. You can't have refrigerators that have meat in it and dairy in it. You can't have silverware that's used for dairy as well as used for meat. In very Orthodox circles, everything has to be separate. These things are never, ever to touch each other. And yet here, Abraham serves these three men, and one of them's referred to as the Lord, serves them butter, milk, and calf. Now, the rabbinic tradition says, well, there was a few hours difference between when he served the butter and the milk and the calf, but I don't see that in the text itself. He's standing there watching them as they're eating, and it's just all mentioned together. But so anyway, just kind of an interesting little aside there. Back to the story. Verse 9, and they said, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Now, it's interesting, at the top there, it says, they said, where is Sarah, your wife? So I don't know if that was in unison, you know, all three of them together, what it means that they said, but at least one of them said, where is your wife? But then a little later on, it gets more specific. And it says, he said, verse 10, he said, I will certainly return to you. So one of them is the he, and then there's the they. So again, we get this little play going on here. And the important thing is not so much that Abraham is old, because we'll see later on as we continue in the life of Abraham, after Sarah dies, he gets another wife and has another five kids. I don't know why he would do that, but eventually he ends up with a total of seven children that he gives. So the problem is not with Abraham. And so the problem is that Sarah is old. Sarah has passed the age of childbearing. And at that time, she was 90 And so in today's standards, she was way past the age of childbearing, but it seems that they were able to bear children later than she lives, over 100 years. But here at 90, even at that point, even in that day and age, she was past the age of childbearing. That's the key. And maybe that's why God has waited this long to get to the point, not just that they've been praying for a child, give her a child, but till they get to the point where she is definitely beyond childbearing age. She's gone into menopause and out the other side. And so there is no way she's going to have a child. Has to get to the point where it is miraculous. It's the Lord and the Lord alone that is able to bring forth this child. Verse 12, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? So she's inside the tent, she's hearing this, and she laughs within herself. She's not laughing, she's not bursting out laughing, she's laughing in herself. Last week we saw when the Lord came and said this basically same thing to Abraham. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and rolled around laughing. Here she's just holding it in. She's laughing within herself when she's hearing it from the Lord. Verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Powerful promise. Powerful. Amazing God. And here we see it is the Lord, the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, is the one that's speaking to Abraham. So one of those three men, and again, we'll get more into that in another week, was the Lord himself there on earth in the flesh, appearing as a man, speaking to Abraham. He's reading Sarah's mind, and Sarah didn't laugh out loud. It said she laughed within herself, and yet the Lord heard it. And this is not just an average man, although he did eat the calf and the butter and the milk all together that Abraham served him. And he says, and it says the Lord said, so it's the Lord speaking, and then he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you according to the time of life. So this is the Lord speaking, the Lord there. Powerful experience. Having God himself, creator of the heavens and the universe, coming and sitting with Abraham and Sarah and reading her mind. He knows our thoughts. He knows our motives. He knows our innermost being. Nothing cannot be hidden from him. Don't try and hide it. Might be able to good to hide it from the rest of the world. Might be able to hide it from your spouse or from your parents or your kids or whoever is close to you. But we can't hide anything from the Lord. He knows our thoughts. We can be in denial. We can hide it from ourselves even. We can't hide it from the Lord. He knows what's going on in our minds. And he knows that Sarah is doubting. That's why she's laughing. It's not a joyful laughing. It's a laughing that's impossible. It's a scoffing laugh that she did within herself. And so the Lord calls her out on it. The Lord didn't call out Abraham last week. He just let that laugh go. He didn't say anything about that, which again shows it really comes down to motive and heart and intent. And so he calls her out and lets her know, I heard you laughing. Why do you doubt? Is the arm of the Lord too short? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And then Sarah denies it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. He's not going to let her get away with lying to the Lord. But she denies it. Lies right to the Lord. Speaks out. No, I didn't laugh. It's our human nature, like from Adam and Eve, running and hiding in denial, caught in the act, called out in the act, and yet still digging deeper the hole and holding the ground even firmer. Oh, no, I didn't laugh. And God doesn't let her get away with it. He calls her out and corrects her. No, you did laugh. You can't fool me. I'm the Lord. I created you. I know you inside and out. And so even when we're called out, even when the Holy Spirit convicts us of things, even when God shows us things, even when God uses other people to bring conviction to us and point things out in our life, our natural tendency is to deny it. Our natural tendency is to stay in the sin. Our natural, normal self, and that's why God doesn't want us to be normal. God doesn't want us to stay in the condition that we're in. Our natural impulse is to excuse it, deny it, blame other people for it, everything but confess. It's a miracle of God. It takes us the Spirit of God. It takes a gift from God to give us the ability to confess our wrongs, confess our sins, confess our doubts. Naturally, we won't do it. Even when the Lord himself is there right in front of us, speaking truth to us. Even when it's undeniable, we deny it. And so we need to be in a type of prayer meditation at all times in our life. Lord, show me what's in my life. Show me my sins. Give me a submissive heart. Give me the gift of confession. Give me the gift of repentance. Give me a sorrow for my sin, because we don't have it naturally. It needs to come from the Lord. We can choose to ask God to change us and give us that kind of a nature that's willing to confess, that's humble, that's submissive, that's repentant. But it doesn't come naturally. It's a miracle from God. And so if we've ever truly confessed anything, you have experienced a miracle from God in your life. If you've ever truly felt sorry for anything, you've experienced a miracle from God in your life, because that was God who spoke to you. That was God who moved you. That was God who gave you that heart, that desire, that impulse to confess it in a true confession with true sorrow for sin. And then it's also the Lord who gives us the power to change. And that's what we need. And when we do confess it, he forgives and he removes the sin and he cleanses us, takes it out of our life, removes it and fills us with his Spirit. And so in this case, he takes away the doubt, the unbelief, and then fills it with faith. And so whatever the sin is, as we confess it, he removes it, and he can show us the motive, real motive, right? So the one thing is she's laughing, that's the outward, even though she's doing it inwardly. But that's not really the issue, is that she was doubting. And now here she's in denial. It's not the denial so much the problem, but that she's afraid. She's afraid of confessing to the Lord. She's afraid of what others will think. She's afraid of what these men will think, these people out there will think of her. But as we confess it, whatever the sin is, and whatever the motive is, whatever the root is, as we allow God to show us, and he convicts us, and we confess it, he forgives us and cleanses us of all unrighteousness. And then he can fill us with his Spirit and his power and change us. And that's the power of the gospel. That's the whole power of the Bible. That's the whole key to the whole thing. It's allowing God to change us, to transform us through confession, through repentance, through his Spirit, through his blood. And so he calls Sarah out. And then, and now we jump to Genesis 21. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, Sarah bore to him, Isaac. So here again, it's the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh who visited Sarah as he had spoken. So that was Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, God who spoke, Lord who spoke, Adonai who spoke. And then it was, again, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh did for Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bore a child, and so he visited him again. And Sarah did bear a son. Powerful. Amazing miracle of God. 90-year-old woman giving birth to a son. They name him Isaac. And in Hebrew, Isaac means Laughter. Sarah laughed. Abraham laughed. What an appropriate name. And then verse 4, Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And so Abraham circumcised before that, as the Lord came, commanded him to do so. And then when son is born, he circumcises him. And if you missed the sermon on circumcision, you can see that on shalomadventure.com. Genesis 21, verse 6, Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. No, she didn't say in my old age. In his old age. She's trying to still put it on him, but it's because in her old age she bears a child. But God made her to laugh. And now this type of laughter that she's laughing is a different type of laughter. Before it was a scoffing laughter, an unbelief laughter inside herself. Now it's an outward, joyful laughter bursting out of her belly, just a joyful laughing and praising God and thanking the miracle of God that he has done, what God has done in her life and in their life. God has made her laugh. Now they've been waiting, and it has been 15 years, since they left Ur of the Chaldees and traveled through in various different experiences in Egypt and war with Abraham going to war against the ones who took Sodom and Gomorrah and God's deliverance there, and one thing after another. Issues with Lot, God brings issues with Hagar. God finally delivers. God finally comes through for her. And now she can rejoice and laugh. That's a miracle. I mean, that's just a total, flat-out miracle for God to give her a child at that age. So it shouldn't surprise us that God is able to do miraculous births. That shouldn't be a surprising thing. That shouldn't be for people of faith. Is the arm of the Lord too short? Is anything impossible for the Lord? No, nothing is impossible for the Lord. So God does this to show Abraham and Sarah that it's by him. It comes through him. The miracles come through God. The power to change comes through God. Righteousness comes through God. Holy living comes through God's power, not our own. The child came through God's miracle, not their own. Remember, they tried in their own strength, tried in their own ways, tried to do things, have a child through Hagar, try various different things, lying to the Pharaoh in Egypt, trying in their own way. But when we stop trying and surrender and let God, he's able to move in, he's able to work, and he's able to do beyond what we could ever think or dream. And so if God's able to do a miraculous child out of Sarah, a barren womb, not producing eggs anymore, barren, dried up womb, God's able to do that through Sarah. Can God bring a child from a virgin? Isaiah 7, verse 14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the Ammah shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now again, the Hebrew word there is Ammah, which is not the only word that's used for virgin. There's another word that's used for Alma and, for virgin in the Bible. And Alma doesn't always mean virgin necessarily. Could mean young maiden, young lady. But in context, you read it, it makes sense that meaning young, not just young, but young in the sense that not married young. Old enough to marry, not child, but young and hasn't yet married. And here it says, it's going to be a sign. The Lord will give a sign. It's not much of a sign if a young married lady has a child. That happens all the time. But it's a miraculous sign that he's wanting to demonstrate here, and that she will conceive, and not just any child, but this child will be Emmanuel, God with us. Now, should it be surprising that God can have a virgin give birth to a child, especially a miraculous child, especially one that's a sign, especially one that's going to produce God with us? After Sarah gave birth at 90 years age, should it surprise us that God would give this type of a sign, that God would do this same type of miracle? Shouldn't be a surprise at all. Should be an expectation. God began it through Abraham and Sarah, and the lineage is that the Messiah would come through Abraham's seed. He's going to start the promise with a miraculous birth, start the lineage through Abraham, Sarah, and then Isaac through a miraculous birth. It would make sense that the Messiah himself, at the end of the line, would be a miraculous birth as well. And that's what's prophesied here. And so, yes, Alma can be translated other ways as young woman, but in context and in possibility, nothing is impossible for the Lord. And this is why Abraham and Sarah prefigure the coming of the Messiah. Isaac prefigures the Messiah to come. And we'll see that later on in Isaac's life, how Isaac's life prefigures not only the birth of the Messiah, but then later on, the death of the Messiah. And so from beginning, from birth to death, Isaac prefigures the Messiah to come. It's so beautiful that God brings Isaac in this way, foreshadowing the Messiah, who would come miraculously into this world and be God here with us. Just as God was there with Abraham, just as God was there with Sarah, God is here with us. And he hears our inner thoughts. He knows our longings. He knows our innermost desires. And he wants to please us. And he wants to turn our doubting laughters into joyful laughters. He wants us to experience the joy of the Lord. He wants us to be blessed by him. He wants to give us good things. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He knows the timing. He knows what's best. So back to this verse that we read in Genesis 18, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? How about in your life? Is anything too hard for the Lord? What is your need? What are you needing? What are you wanting? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there any need that you need? Any good thing that you're missing out on? He will provide for all our needs according to his riches and glory. Nothing is too hard for him. He can provide for you financially. He can provide for you physically. He can provide for you emotionally, socially. What are you needing? Abraham and Sarah wanted a child. We've seen right here in this congregation, miraculous children come forth. Parents praying for years and years, not able to have a child. Sometimes trying various different means, going to the medical profession. In God's timing, God brought forth a miraculous child. Not miraculous in the sense like Sarah, 90 years old. But after years of waiting and waiting, and God brought forth in his timing. Sometimes he doesn't. We've seen God do miracles. We've seen after prayer, God remove cancer, cervical cancer out of a woman. Came to prayer. She went in for the surgery. I went in and I said, it's gone. There's nothing there. God's able to remove, God's able to do, God's able to heal. Sometimes he doesn't in this life. Sometimes we have to wait till we're 90. Sometimes we have to wait till the new heavens and new earth. But nothing is too hard for the Lord, and He won't withhold it from us if by His grace, by His power, we're walking uprightly with Him, and if it's according to His will for us to have it now. Wasn't according to His will for Isaac to be born a year earlier, 3 years earlier, 10 years earlier, 15 years earlier. The timing had to be right. And that's the same in our lives. Surrender any doubt, surrender any fear. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Are we meeting the conditions by His grace? Is there any reason we don't have what our needs are? The Bible says, I want to have friends, be friendly. Give and it'll be given back to you. So there are conditions often. Are we meeting the conditions? And if we're not, we can ask God to change us, transform us, make us more loving, make us more faithful, give us a cheerful heart, returning to the Lord, give us right motives. They can move upon us and give us the ability to walk righteously and blamelessly before Him so that no good thing would be withheld. We can ask for more faith. He won't give if we don't ask. If there's sin on our record, He won't hear. We can confess all sins. And then we can ask. We can ask in faith, and we can ask big. Because nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is impossible with God. It's something. Yeah, it's not even his vocabulary. That's right. He didn't even think it. So whatever it is, whatever your needs are, whatever your prayer request is, take it before the Lord. Surrender it to Him. Before we get to the end, before we even move on, God's bringing something to your mind. Surrender it to Him. Give it over to Him. Ask Him to have faith. Ask Him to give you faith and claim it as yours if it's according to His will. And then wait on the timing for God to deliver it into your life. Is anything too hard for Him? Is it too hard for God to give you victory over that habit? Is it too hard for God to change your life, to change your way you talk, how you treat people? Is it impossible for God to change a heart, change a mind, change a life, to transform a soul? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And all the other stuff, friends, children, spouse, finances, health, all of that pales compared to having God change our hearts. Nothing is too hard for Him. Give Him your toughest, most ingrained habit, most difficult part of your character, areas that you've tried to change on your own, areas you've tried to modify, areas you've tried to hide. Give it over to Him and allow Him to give you victory, because nothing is too hard for Him. Give Him the desires of our heart, and we give Him our heart, and He will give us His heart, and then He'll be able to give us the desires of the heart, not of the carnal heart, but of the purified heart. So give Him our hearts. Let Him move victoriously in our life. What area do you need changed? What area do you want changed? What area is God bringing to your mind and needs to change in your life? Not self-resolution, but nothing is too hard for the Lord. Lord, do this in my life. Or take out these desires. Maybe it's generational. Maybe it's been for centuries going on in your life. Maybe it's cultural, inherited year after year after year and been going on and on. God can break it. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. And so if God's bringing something to your mind, some area in your life, some area in your character, that's not in harmony with Him, that's not like Him, and when we pray, you can surrender it to Him and allow His power, His arm, to come into your life and change you, forgive you, cleanse you, and transform you. And so if either of those things apply to you, change of heart or some desire, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Surrender it to Him and let Him work. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful promises in your word. The Bible is filled with promises for us. Lord, as we grab a hold of those promises, fulfill them in our lives. Work your change in us. Commanded us to walk before you blameless. Fulfill that promise in our life. Fulfill that in us and through us. Convict us in the areas where we're not in your character. Transform us and change us. Convict us of what attitudes, what motives, what habits, what actions, our temper and our temperament, our faith and lack of faith, our doubts, our fears. Dig down to the innermost core. Tackle the hardest issue in our life. Most ingrained sin, nothing is too hard for you. Take it out of us. We give it over to you, Yeshua. It's so wretched it's killed you. And we accept your death and our death with you. Now fill us with your Spirit. Nothing is impossible for you. Fill us with your character. Fill us with your very mind. Let this mind be in us that was in Yeshua the Messiah. Fill us with your mind. Fill us with your character. Live your life in us and out of us. Pray your laws into our minds and our hearts. Give us the power to will and to do according to your good pleasure. And walk us in uprightness. And then, Lord, according to other promises that you've given to us, to provide for us, meet our every need, our social needs, our emotional needs, interpersonal needs, our needs for friends, our needs for companionship, our need for love. Meet our needs. Give us what would be good and blessed. Meet our financial needs and our health needs. Lord, above all things, wish that we be in health and prosper, even as our soul prospereth. Lord, give us health according to your will. Give us joy. Give us laughter. Give us happiness. Give us faith. Give us victory. Live in us and through us. The joy of the Lord. Give us comfort. Give us satisfaction. Give us peace. Give us freedom. Give us self-control. Nothing is impossible for you. Live out these attributes in us and through us. In Yeshua's holy name. Amen.